Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hockensmith. First of all, Mr. Dusty, post-Thanksgiving weekend, did you get your fill of turkey?
Well, let me just say this. I've been exclusively wearing sweats since Thursday. Does that answer your question about how things went?
That does answer my question. I take it turkey, leftovers, and plenty of desserts too.
Yeah, mostly focus on the desserts because I am lukewarm on turkey the first time around. So you can kind of understand how I feel about it the second and third time around. Don't get me wrong. I eat like a champion. I power through some of those issues with taste. But yeah, it's a race to get to dessert time. And then those are the things that, you know, when it comes to leftovers, I'm most looking forward to. My mom made a pumpkin cheesecake with pumpkins that she grew. And it's probably the most prized accomplishment that our family has ever put forth is that pumpkin pie cheesecake. It's just not saying much about where I'm at.
Anything that's combined with cheesecake, that works, Dusty. All right, let's segue into why we are here, which is football, Penn State football. Let's just remind our listeners, 2 weeks ago we had salty Jim. A week ago we had more sweet Jim. Guess which Jim you're going to get today?
God, I mean, I don't think it would be somewhere in between. I don't think we're looking at a combination of sweet and savory. We got to be looking at just salty Jim, beef jerky Jim here.
You're getting very salty Jim today. And do you want to know why, Dusty?
I love it.
Do you want to know why?
Yeah, I do.
All right, let me tell you why. All right, let me tell you about my team and how my team performed, especially in short yardage situations. They have such a lack of confidence in their ability to convert. The first two times they're faced with fourth and one at around midfield, they literally punted, okay? They punted on it, the situation. We are not even going to try. Finally, when they get a fourth and one where they're forced to get to go for it, they are a team that we realize they are so lacking in confidence that it just doesn't work for them. They got so creative that they just threw their running back right up the middle and got stoned again, like they seem to do all year. Not only that, they then get their next possession, run the ball the first down for 9 yards. Now they have a second and one where they run their tail back up the middle, get stoned. Third and one, I think just to avoid having a fourth and one, they fumble. And by the way, he didn't fumble after making the first down. He was stoned again. Meanwhile, Dusty, here's what my opponent does. On fourth and three, their quarterback runs for 5 yards and gets the first down. Meanwhile, my opponent, when they're faced with fourth and 15, and don't want to kick the ball, the conditions, their kicker was hurt, all of those things, they get 4th and 15, they convert a 20-yard touchdown pass. My team, 4th and 1, multiple opportunities, they can't make it. My opponent, 4th and 15, they get a 20-yard touchdown pass against my team's vaunted defense. That, my friend, is why I'm salty today.
And do we have to fill up the rest of the show? You just boiled the entire 60-minute game down into about a minute and a half there. And that was the story of the game as you looked into the second half. Now, I think there are some nuances to it, and I'm sure we'll get into some of the ins and the outs of it. But those are the issues, and those are, you know, especially the short yardage thing has been, it's been an issue all year long. And it's been an issue more seasons than not since James Franklin got to Penn State. So that's a whole other part of the discussion as we, you know, wrap up the regular season. It's a 7-5 year. There are five losses in the final seven games. There was a breathtaking reversal of momentum from the early start of the season to where things got now. But all throughout there, you know, same issues plagued this team throughout. And then just the lack of timely plays was troubling in this game. I think the, you know, not being as prepared as they should have been to start this game, not being in the right headspace or whatever you want to call it to sum up what you just described, and not finishing the game strong. So, you know, they had their moments along the way. I thought their fight, you know, down 14-0 was admirable, but they just couldn't sustain that energy for the full 60 minutes. And, you know, that second half was a pretty forgettable 30 minutes of football.
Well, Dustin, I hate to correct you, but we are not going to do any nuance here. It's not about nuance today, okay? And the second correction is I did not just describe this week's game. I just described the season in a nutshell, okay? This is nothing new. But seriously, looking a little bit big picture on this, we have this situation where not only do they struggle running the ball, but specifically struggle running the ball on those short yardage situations, as I so eloquently described earlier. But there's also other things going on. As good as this defense has been, they have had leads in the second half, even in the fourth quarter, in several of these losses, and found a way to give up a big play. Just like earlier in the season, we talked about forcing turnovers. A game or two, it might be random. Over a season, it becomes a trend. And the giving up big plays by this defense late in the game has also become a trend, hasn't it?
I think that's a fair way to put it. And this one, you know, I think there were times, especially last year, where this Penn State defense had a way of making most quarterbacks look like John Elway out there. I don't think that hasn't been a prevalent thing for a lot of this season so far, but this game, you know, on the road against Michigan State, Peyton Thorne looked like a much better quarterback than he actually was. And it was a regression, I think, for that unit back into some 2020 territory where, you know, all the good faith, all the good play from the first 11 games of the year, it was hard to find that on Saturday. And I think the pass defense, and, you know, you saw Joey Porter Jr. with a couple pass interference penalties where he's, you know, I'm not sure how you go about fixing that, but that's going to be Terry Smith's job in the offseason because he can run, he can cover, but he keeps putting himself in bad spots where he's grabbing and it's obvious to everybody watching. So that showed up, but, you know, just not being able to take control of the back end of the defense was a troubling thing that we saw on Saturday. We hadn't seen a lot of the year, but giving up these big plays, you know, late in the game and the couple turnovers late in the game. I mean, I think when you look at it, most games that you play at this level are close enough in terms of talent versus talent that it's about striking when the iron's hot. It's about when opportunities are there to make plays that the team that wins is the team that takes advantage of those opportunities. And Penn State was not a team that took advantage of any opportunities on Saturday and made some of Michigan State's chances look a lot easier than they should have been. You know, what else can you do except put your head in your hands if you're a Penn State fan watching? You know, you feel good about where you are, 4th and 15. And I give credit to Michigan State, give credit to Jaden Reed, give credit to Peyton Thorne for, you know, recognizing that one-on-one coverage. But, you know, Johnny Dixon was right there, just didn't make that play. I thought it was there to be made for Johnny Dixon, and Penn State had an advantage in that situation and didn't capitalize on it. And that just kind of summed up the entire day where both these teams, I mean, I think you play this game a bunch of times, Penn State will win its share of them, but not doing what they did there and not, you know, struggling in some of the key areas that they've struggled all year and not stepping up to the plate when it came time to make a play late in this game, nobody really did it.
In any game that you lose, especially a close game, you could pick out 4 or 5 plays that, gee, if they had gone a different way, you win the game. I pointed out at least 4 or 5 of those plays where that was the case. But a little bigger picture, Dustin, is I'm reading a lot of people are asking this question. I want to ask you. You're playing against the absolute worst team against the pass, and you have a coach who keeps saying, but I want to establish the run. Were they trying too hard to establish the run in this game?
I think the simple answer to that is probably yes, that this was such a point of emphasis and the thing that Penn State couldn't wrap its arms around all year, that then you get into the situation where now you're overemphasizing it probably. And I think I saw something, Michigan State's defensive coordinator, I think Penn Live, our columnist David Jones, wrote something off of him basically saying that they just tempted Penn State into running the ball. You know, they presented the right looks, and when Penn State got the right numbers in the box, they ran the ball. And a lot of times that's the correct decision. But what struck me about that is that was another example. We've had this conversation on this show a whole bunch of times, Jim, where you're saying the other coaching staff was now dictating the terms of this game. And they were dictating that they were saying, we trust our front four, our front five. We trust those guys. Michigan State's front defensive front is pretty good. And what they were able to do is present Penn State these looks where they had whatever it was, six or maybe seven guys in the box, where the numbers advantage was on Penn State's side, not accounting for the fact that nobody was really winning one-on-one matchups. So that's the wild card here, is that you can step up to the line of scrimmage, or if you're Mike Yurcich, you can call these plays based on the looks that Michigan State is giving you and say, oh, this is favorable for the run. And so what Michigan State seemed to be doing was keep presenting those looks again and again and again, and trust their guys up front to win the one-on-one matchups, to get the penetration that they needed, and to make that advantage, using air quotes, just negate that advantage completely. So I think what they did was they won the coaching matchup, you know, on that one. And I think you combine that with Penn State's insistence on establishing the run, which, by the way, I mean, we're in week 12 here. At this point, who cares? Like, it was almost like a feather in the cap. Like, they just wanted that 100-yard rusher. They wanted to establish the run just to say that they did. That's what it kind of felt like. So you combine these things together, and it was just play calling that, you know, why would you not target Jahan Dotson 100 times in this game? They didn't show any reasonable evidence to suggest that they can slow that part of Penn State's passing attack down. So Penn State went away from it and did Michigan State a great big favor in this game. Now was not the time to try to establish this run, the run game. They ended up just trying to play Michigan State's game, and they were worse at it than Michigan State. And so when you look at it from, you know, from 1,000 feet up, from the big picture point of view, Penn State tried to play Michigan State's game and understandably weren't as good at it as Michigan State was.
And you brought up the idea, why not just throw it to Jahan Dotson 100 times? And there does reach a point where the opponent's going to say, hey, we're going to make sure we're going to double or triple team the guy. But it's not like he's the only target you have. Parker Washington is pretty good. They did pretty well throwing the ball to Brenton Strange. There's a couple other targets that they could use.
Yeah, there were so many situations where guys were running wild through the secondary. It wasn't just Jahan Dotson. There were other options. They just chose not to use them.
Exactly. All right, Dustin, we still have a lot more to talk about. That's it for quarter number one. Stick around. We'll continue the Penn State, Michigan State conversation in quarter number two.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves, fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.